Good morning. Bless you all. It's really good just to be able to share God's word again this morning. When that clip came up, my heart really started to race, I can tell you. This will be the ninth time we've crossed the Nullarbor. I think we've done 8 trips back and forwards up to Mount Newman, Western Australia, when we were working there. So this will be the 9th, it'll be 10th coming back. One good point, the very last trip coming back, the road was only just sealed. Years ago it used to be just a gravel road and a corrugated road, and just like driving on a jackhammer. We really look forward to good smooth travelling, bless you all for that. We're really excited about it, and I'll just, towards the end of my message, I'll speak a little bit more about that. Today I just want to share about longevity or long life. I suppose in that God's promise to us all that he will lengthen our days. Amen?
Amen.
I feel the question is not how long we live on this earth, how long we live in eternity. That should be upon all of our hearts, that we make every effort, that we're going, at the end of the day, we're going to be there in the Lord's presence. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to spend eternity with him. And as we do that, and as we go into God's presence, that's where the longevity for us, I really believe, will take place. But as I said, that's God's promise to all, that he will lengthen our days. And I'm sure everyone here today would agree that, I'm sure your heart's desire would be to have a long life and to live in good health and keep serving God and eventually enjoy and reap the benefits that old age brings. We all look forward to that, don't we? To live a long life and to live it well. And I think also what's important is how we live that life. What do we do with that life? And for each and every one here this morning, that's to serve God, isn't it? To serve God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength and all our purpose, and to be in his will. But about living a long life, we read early in the book of Genesis there, there's some really great men of the Bible who lived great many, many years. Who was the oldest? As old as Methuselah. How long did he live? How long? He lived 969 years. It's a bit hard to believe, isn't it? But God's word said. What about Adam? He lives only 687. Noah lived 950. Enoch, 365. A person named Jared, he lived 962. And Mahalalel, I think that's how you say it, he lived 895 years. And of course, Abraham, he was only a teenager. He died at 175 years of age. But it's just amazing, isn't it, when you just think, we're struggling to reach 80, 90 years old. And if you get past 90, that's a real great achievement, isn't it? When you hear someone, they're 92, 94, that's great. My dad, he just died just short of his 94th birthday. And actually all my father's side, that they all lived beyond 90 years. So I'm trusting that I'm going to go well past that. You see how God was with people in that time. And, we say, well, what's happened? Why do we only live such a time now? Over the many, many years, things have changed quite significantly. And I suppose that the key thing is that people stopped worshipping God. They walked away from God's presence and didn't walk in God's ways. Over that period of time, all this longevity was eroded away. But I'm not going to speak about all that this morning. But in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, "So be careful to do what the Lord your God commanded you to. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in the way of the Lord, the way that your Lord has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you possess." So that's a mighty present, a promise there. But it's also a bit of a warning to us, where the Lord says, be careful. And that's so important in our walk in the things of God, that we don't get out of the will of God, that we don't get out of, wander away from God's presence. We just need to be there all the time in God's sight, with Him just having His hand of direction upon it, leading us, guiding us, and just showing us the way in which we are to walk. So the promise is there. That's the promise to our offspring, to our children, and to their children. We all want to do well in life, don't we? All of us want to achieve something. We want to do things. We all want things to go well for us. And this is possible. It is possible for everyone if we are prepared to commit our ways to God and to trust God and to believe God that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask or think, according to what? According to the power that worketh within us. Amen? And so we do that. We commit our ways to the Lord. And Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40 again, another stern warning for us there. And God's word there, God spoke and He said, through Moses. And He said, keep His decrees and commands I'm giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children, and your children after you, that you may live long in the land that the Lord gives you for all time. There's a powerful promise again, that for all time. Like I said, it doesn't matter how long we live on this earth. The important thing is that we're going to spend eternity with God. Amen? And so none of us want to struggle in issues in our life or with life. And again, there's certainly no need to struggle, because the Lord is prepared to walk with us. His promise is, and He says, yea, I will be with you. I've spoke about that many times before, how God will be with us, how God will walk with us. He'll lead us by the hand, He'll guide us, and He'll be a mighty help to us in every way. As I said, there's no need to struggle in life when we depend on God, when we put our hope and trust in God. And so there, the word tells us to be careful, to do what the Lord has commanded us to do. The warning is clear, isn't it? That don't turn aside to the right or turn to the left, which means we are to keep our eyes fixed towards God, fix the word toward God and toward His eternal purposes, and walking in His ways, and to do what the Lord asks us to do. And as we do that, long life will be with us and prosperity will be upon us. Prosperity in many ways. God wants us to bless us in every way, and God will do that if we put our hope and trust into Him there, and we do that. So we need, the warning is there to be careful, and it seems all very relevant, doesn't it, that if we're obeying God's God and His laws, things will be well. Amen? Things will go well. And the same applies to us. It only stands to reason, you know, if we're obeying the laws of the land, the laws of the government of the day, then it will be well for us, won't it? But if we break those laws, we're in trouble, aren't we? As many people find out. So we want things to really go well for us. And continuing on, just looking at a book of Isaiah in chapter 61 there in verse 3, how God spoke powerfully through Isaiah. I just love the book of Isaiah. There's so much in it, and just mighty promises of God there. But it's just how much God cares for us, how much God wants to do for us. And in chapter 61, verse 3, it speaks there how God wants to give you, each one of us, he wants to put a crown on our head. It says in the word there, a crown of beauty, something wonderful, something good. That crown, it also relates to a turban, but to bestow on them, this is Isaiah's words, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. God wants to give it the good stuff, beauty instead of ashes, oil instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So you can see there how much God just wants to give us all the good through good things, as Isaiah spoke about there. And this is what God wants for us all, to be to wear the robes of righteousness, to walk in his ways, to be upright people, and to really, that we're going to be called oaks of righteousness. A lot of writings about that, to be called a planting of the Lord. And as we become these oaks of righteousness, as we become a planting of the Lord, you know, through us being in God's will in that way, we'll be able to display God's glory, amen? And that, and so Isaiah, he spoke those words. Why did he speak them? He said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he declared these powerful words that can be so much of our lives in our walk with the Lord. And so the Spirit of the Lord was on the prophet Isaiah then. And he was able to speak what God had sown into him, what God gave him in vision and in word and in every way. So Isaiah was able to just wonderfully speak that back through all his writings there. But so we see that what God has sown into each of us, what God has sown into our hearts, that every one of us will always, what God has sown into each and every one of us will always be within us. That what God has sown in here, it can't be stolen away, can it? It can't be taken away. Once the seed of the Word of God is planted in our hearts, that's yours, that's ours, for us to keep, amen? And it can't be taken away. It can't be stolen away. Because why? Because this is all a part of us living a long life. Because it's the Spirit that gives us life, amen? And it's the Spirit that gives us strength. And above all, it's the power of the Spirit that worketh within us, amen? That we're able to do so much in the things of God. And also I believe it's the Spirit that brings the seed to life. When we speak to people, when we sow into someone's life, when we witness, that's the seed we're sowing. And God wants to water that seed. He wants to bring that seed to life into someone's heart. Seed that will come to life and bear fruit as we proclaim the good news. And so as Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has appointed me to preach the good news. And Jesus quoted the same verse as we know in Luke's Gospel in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. He said the same thing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news. What did Jesus say to each and he gave that command, go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel and make disciples. He didn't say that for nothing. He also put his anointing on it. He gave us the promise of the Holy Spirit. So that's something for each and every person here today, to take that into your heart, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Each and every person who has Jesus Christ in the heart. Yes, Mark. Amen. It is, because it's just a powerful thing. It's an awesome thing that God has entrusted us to plant within us His Spirit. And I'm getting signs and wonders here. Excuse me. Okay, so in this passage of Isaiah, or in Luke's Gospel there, where Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and that Jesus was speaking there, and that we see there that it's been Luke's Gospel. It just speaks so much about the Lord's ministry of preaching and healing, and His desire to meet every human need. That was the heart of Christ, to touch every person, man, woman, or child. And as we know, Jesus, He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And so God gave this command, go ye into all the world, preach the good news, and make disciples. It's just a God-given authority that we've been given. Then so all authority has been given to me. Because Jesus spoke those words, and He's empowered us to do things. He said, greater things you will do in my name. So it's a powerful promise, isn't it? Jesus Himself said, greater things you will do in my name. He said that to disciples. And as we read the word, we believe what God's word says, that we are able to do that. And that, so that's a directive to us. That's a command to us. And so we take that on board and to use it in our outreach and ministry. And also in Proverbs chapter 4, the word there, that speaks about the wellspring of life. The wellspring. There's a deep well within us. And there's a scripture also, out of your bellies will flow living water. And but in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Again, words of warning, but words of encouragement, aren't they? Of how we are to guard ourselves, guard our heart because of what is in our heart, what is stored up within us. And as we store up this, you know yourself, you might be witnessing and you're groping for something to say, and that's when that wellspring will come to life. That's when there'll be an outpouring of your spirit upon someone else's life. And so it's, as I see, it's a guard your heart. If we store up good things in our heart, it'll be great. Out of our words and actions will be good. And also in chapter 2, verse 11, it says, discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. God guards the faithful, amen? And as we know, out of the outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, and sometimes that can be pretty terrible, can't it? It can be pretty poor. But, because there's so much good that can come out of our mouth, so much good, and unfortunately there is also so much stuff that isn't good. We have to turn that right around, don't we? And to speak well of each other, to speak well all the time. And as I said, there's so much good that can come out. So that's why the warning there is for us to guard ourselves, to guard ourselves, to guard our heart, because negativity and hurtful comments only have the damage potential to damage our lives and to shorten our lifespan. Because when we get caught up in all that stuff, we just wither away, don't we? We wither away. And because when we display those things, and we're negative and hurtful because we lack the grace. Sometimes we just lack the grace of God. Sometimes we lack the love of God in our hearts, or haven't done the right thing. But like the psalmist David, I want things to go well for me. I want things to go well for my wife. I want things to go well for my family. I want goodness and mercy to follow me all the days of my life. And I want to enjoy the blessing and the benefits of God to dwell. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I know as God's goodness comes upon me, our lives and long upon our lives, longevity will accompany it. And David wrote, as we know, he wrote Psalm 23. And I believe that as David wrote that psalm, he was full of confidence. He was full of confidence that that his God would be his shepherd, who would lead him and guide him all the days of his life. And this psalm, it's so relevant to us. It's personalised for each and every one of you. And we can be so much encouraged because the Psalm 23, it's just a profession of a joyful trust in the Lord as the Good Shepherd King. And as the word says there, goodness and mercy shall follow me. And that was David's heart there, and he just wrote that and prayed that. And many times, as we know, as you read the psalm, and we just see how David cried out to God, and he always acclaimed, he always ascribed greatness to his God, who his God was. He says, I know you're my God. You're my God. I trust in you. I put my hope in you, and all that sort of stuff. And so David was though that. So church, I just truly believe that God wants to be us to be a part of his plans and purposes. Everything that he has for us, God wants it for us. And that he wants us to dwell in the land for a lengthy time. And while we're here, he wants us to serve him well. To serve him well. And so we have this hope and expectancy, don't we? We have this hope and expectancy that because God is with us. God is with us. Amen. I'm sure each and every person here today can say that. And they can say, God is with me. God is with me. That's our testimony. We're here today because God is with us. God is with you. Amen. And so today as we leave on this ministry trip, as God goes with us and before us and preparing the way, goodness and mercy will follow us. I believe that. Goodness and mercy will follow us. And above all, goodness and mercy will light up the way for us. Goodness and mercy will embrace so much. Goodness and mercy does embrace so much. And the goodness of God is all around us. Amen. We see that everywhere you go. If you can't see God's hand at work, well, open your eyes. Open your eyes and look. And so as we leave today, something we've believed for a long time that, we've been given this wonderful opportunity to minister to the wider body of the church. And that's certainly going to happen as we embark upon this journey today. And as we've seen on the map, there's a vast distance between Grow Church and Broom in Western Australia. And it's a long way. But we know that God's going to go before us. He prepare the way for us. That's all. God's already done that and allowed us to take that. And again, we just appreciate each and every person's heart here today that in blessing us first of all with your offering and today, and many of you have already expressed your deep love of interest and concern and for this trip and for Port. It's been such a benefit to us and we're able to be confident that as we made this preparation, we got things together. And it's just been so amazing how God's just come in at the right time and showed his hand of might. And so today as we leave, we all know that you will be thinking of us as we will be thinking of you. We know that you'll be praying us for us, as we'll be praying for you also. When we come back, I want to see more people in this church. I want to see new people in this church. So, chop chop. But we all have a job to do, don't we? We want to see the kingdom of God grow in every way, in every area, everywhere we go. We want to leave a deposit. And that's what God expects us to do, that we leave a good deposit wherever we go. And that's not just for us. It's for everyone. If you go and visit your cousins, your neighbours, your family, leave a good deposit. Leave a good deposit. And so today we know that. And you're going to be partnering us, as our pastor prayed about this morning, spoke about and prayed about. And we do appreciate your concern, your financial support. And so we can undertake this trip full of hope and expectancy, because God is with us. Amen. And as we go, we're believing that we're going to be an encouragement to the believers and the churches we visit. And as a lot of them don't get a lot of visiting ministry, and particularly the church in Port Hedland, they haven't had a pastor for more than 3 years now. Is it, Chris? About that. They haven't had a permanent, they've had visiting ministry, but they're desperately seeking a pastor. And they've already put that out to us, but we said, thank you very much, but bless you, and we've already committed to our church here. And so we're just trusting God that we'll leave a good deposit. And to the many people and families that we know, and we hope to meet up with over there again, many who we haven't seen for nearly 30 years. Yeah, it's hard to believe it's 30 years ago that we left West Australia. It's just gone like that. But so we're really expecting great things, that God will do a good thing and he's going to be with us. So today I just encourage you as a people, each and every one, to hold fast to the things of God, and keep fanning that flame. Keep fanning that flame, that fire that's been planted within us and within you. And the Spirit will God. As you do that, the Spirit of God will glow even brighter. Amen? That we will show God's glory for him. That we will glorify God in every opportunity. And the name of Jesus will be lifted high. So, Father God, I just thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity of being able to share your word. Father, today we just trust, Lord, that each one of us will heed your words. Lord, that we will stand up with this church and declare this today, that we will heed your words, that we will guard our hearts. We will be careful which way we turn, that we don't wander to the right, that we don't wander to the left, but we walk in your path, that path that is fixed ahead. As Jesus looked over Jerusalem and lamented upon that city, we just ask, Lord, that we will have the same heart and we'll set our face like flint toward your glory, Lord, toward that Jerusalem, that place you've appointed for each and every one of us. So, Father, Lord, in our absence, be with our brothers and sisters. Guard their hearts, Lord. Lord, give them good life, longevity of life, and be with them. Be with this church, Father. Keep your hand upon it, Lord, for our pastors, our oversight, the leadership, but, Lord, for this church as a whole, your people, our brothers and sisters, Father. Be with them in every way, Lord. We thank you and bless you, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.